Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Why don't you turn to 3 John? Not John 3. Some of you are going to turn to John 3. But 3 John. Does anybody have anything before we get started that they would like to share briefly that's happened in your life spiritually? This isn't my question yet, Tony. Anybody? Anybody you'd just like to share something's gone on this week? Something good? Okay, no problem. Who was not here last week? Okay. I'm not going to go back and review it, but you'll just kind of have to catch up. It wasn't complicated. We spent a great deal of time talking about hospitality, and we will touch on that some more today because it's in the text we're going to read. Steve Broda is my friend from Northville, Michigan. He and I talk every day. And 90% of our conversation is about the Lord Jesus. Is that true, Steve? Oh, I'm sorry. It's about Donald Trump, too. We've been on Trump a lot, but mostly it's about Jesus, right? We have great time together, and we work together at Independent Bank and some other banks. So, now, I want to ask a question. See if I can get any attention on this. Name one big God thing that happened in your life in the last 5 months. Could be little, could be big, but one big God thing. Go ahead.
Well, it just jumps to mind because I'm so grateful for a new job.
Wow.
I've been praying, this class has prayed, and just in a toxic work environment for a number of years, but the Lord just kept me there, and I was trying to remain faithful and learn the job and do a good job, but it was a very toxic environment. And then in the Lord's timing, He brought me out. But it was His timing, not my timing.
Wow. Because
I was supposed to be out. I just couldn't make it happen. And then during COVID, I was hired in a new company that's just a much better fit, a much better culture, and I'm just so over the moon grateful to the Lord for His care for me, and that I learned a lot about His timing is not mine.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. What is the most quoted verse in the entire Bible that is quoted in the Bible? 14 times it's quoted. It's in the Old Testament. 14 times. Anybody know?
Love the Lord your God.
That's number 2. Deuteronomy 6:5. Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord says to my Lord, quote, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Isn't that interesting? It's quoted 14 times. It's kind of interesting. One more little thing. I'm a trivia guy. I love trivia stuff. You know, I love little quotes and stuff, so you got to get used to that. No other person in all of history has been written about, more books have been written than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's number one by far. But who is the number two guy, and how many books have been written by him, about him? Anybody know? These are not trick questions. Huh? No?
The devil?
The devil? I didn't check that one. Somebody Google devil, see if it turns out. You might be right. Abraham Lincoln. 15,000 books have been written by Abraham Lincoln.
About Abraham Lincoln.
About Abraham Lincoln. Yeah, not by. And when Steve and I were at the prayer march with 166 other thousand people with Franklin Graham a month ago, we went to the Ford Theater, and then we walked over, it was all closed, and we saw all those 15,000, an array of those in about a 4-story building. They have them all stacked up on a pole-like. Isn't that amazing? And a new book just came out this week about Abraham Lincoln. But probably about 10 came out on Jesus that we don't even know about yet. Isn't that cool? I found that interesting. Now, let me ask you this question. In the last 2 weeks, has anyone been able to do hospitality or been shown hospitality based on what we talked about 2 weeks ago? Anybody? What's that?
We did at our house.
All right. Good.
We took somebody to lunch with us.
Did you? Great. Did you enjoy it?
Yes.
That very afternoon, we were able to go to lunch with some friends here that we just met, that were part of the class, that weren't part of the class before, that are now. We just have enjoyed their fellowship, and they've come back to the class, you know, bonfire. It was really nice.
Great.
Thank
Great.
You for your encouragement there.
Yeah. Good. Hey, that's good. Anybody else? Well, let's go to 3 John. Oh, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. You got to do it.
Stand up, Jill.
In fact, come up here right now.
I was reunited in a weird way with a friend that I hadn't seen in maybe over 5 years, and I truly believe God put me in her life at a time when she needed me. I was wanting to start walking again. We bumped into each other. She said she did too, and in our walking, I found out that God has me in her life at this time for her.
Wonderful.
And it's providing a blessing for me too, absolutely.
Yeah, great.
God gave me to her at this time. Mm-hmm.
Great. I did. I mentioned Terry Flint 2 weeks ago. I had a 3-hour lunch with Terry Flint this week and Rick Wiegan, who goes to this church, and Terry's very disabled 33-year-old son from an accident. We had a phenomenal time. And we talked 95% about the Lord Jesus Christ and all those things. We did. No, we spent 15 on Donald Trump. We did. I have to admit. At the end, we did get off on that. But we had a great time together. All right. I want to read starting at verse 6, and I'm going to just start read 5, 6, 7, and 8. I'm reading out of the NIV Bible. And let's go. Dear friend, verse 5. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you're doing for the brothers, even though they're strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men so that we may work together for the truth. Paul says, your kindness has been shown. All the churches know about what you're doing. And that is wonderful. That is wonderful. I want to encourage you. Sometimes we Christians can become too, in my mind, puritanical in thinking that God has to get all the glory, which he does. Therefore, I never thank you for much of anything. I never make mention or thanks to people. You know what I mean? Sometimes we can get weird on this. I don't agree with that. And I think 3 John has a good teaching here for us. He's saying, listen, the word's out about you. You've been keeping people overnight at your house. Not only that, you've been giving them food. You've been doing good things for them. And you are well spoken of, and that's fantastic. And I would like to encourage you. I come to church almost every single time. This is just something I've done for 40 years. I come to church almost every single time, and I mentally say, I want to encourage at least one person today. Sometimes I encourage somebody I don't even know. I just walk up to Fred. I bragged on this guy two weeks ago. He was in a Wednesday class, right? Didn't even know you, Fred, about how he studies the Bible, and I encouraged him. And that's good. I think we need to do that. Here's something that I do. I carry this with me in my car. You see this little sheet? This is our prayer sheet, okay? I mean, again, I'm just telling you stories. I'm a nobody. In fact, I'm a dum-dum. But I love the Lord. And I would say, in a week's time, I mean this, at least 10 of these people get a phone call from Barry Malloy. That's my hospitality. That's telephone hospitality. At least 10, maybe 20. Most of them I don't even know. I look it up on Connection. I call them and said, hey, I noticed you got a prayer request here. I'm sitting on the side of the road. I wonder if could I pray for you? You know, it's just a great way to go, folks. It's a great ministry. And I think we need to go out of our way to encourage one another. And that's what John does. He says, Gaz, you're doing a great job. You've just done a fantastic job. What do you guys think of that idea?
Love it.
Yeah. Huh?
Love it.
Isn't that good? Now, not only did he keep them overnight, okay, but when he sent them on their way, he gave them some goods. He gave them some money. He gave them some... there's a message from the Lord right now. There he goes. There's the man in charge of the building. There he goes. So he took care of them. They weren't asking, they weren't sending out letters and so on to the pagans for money. They were getting their needs met from Christians like Gaius. And John says, that's a great way to be, Gaius. Way to go, buddy. Way to go. I have a group of at least five, actually. One of them has passed away, so I'll say four now. Men in our church, and they're all married, that I can go to, and I do, that I can go to, and they'll give me a quick $100 today. I can get $100 from one of them right now if I walked up to them, and I'll put it in my pocket. I'll go up to them, and I'll say, hey, I got a lady who's just really going through a struggle. She had tongue cancer and lost her job, and I mean, her life is on the line, and she can hardly put food in the table. Boom, he gives me $100. And then I go to that lady, and I say, hey, here's a gift. It's not from me, but here's a gift from heaven. I do this, I don't know, 15 times a year. You get what I'm saying? It's a great ministry. These guys love to give away money to help other people. And so I have been involved in doing this a lot. To me, it's a lot. And this is the attitude I see in this verse, just to care for the other people. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, and I'm not prepared to say I'm willing to do this, but really, no Christian should be on welfare. The church should be the welfare provider. I didn't know the pastor's wife was going to be here today. Tell Pastor Bob, I mean, I don't want to get in trouble, but you understand what I'm saying?
Yep. He's just going to go talk to some guy on the finance team.
And I'm on the finance team. But you get the idea? We're to help one another. We're to care for one another, and that includes finances, you know? Steve, I'm going to put you on the spot. I was in Florida a year ago, February. One of our members who did not have health care insurance and has about 9 children had a terrible crash on the ice, okay? And he's going to be mad that I told this story. And sorry, Steve, you could slap me. I was in Florida. I called Steve. I told him the deal. I said, Steve, I got a problem. And I told him. He says, what do you need? I said, $500. He says, you got it. And I had my daughter take the cash to these people's home, and then Steve sent me the check. You know what I mean? I thought it was so cool. The minute I told him of the need, bang, the money was provided. This is Christianity, folks. Am I right? This is how we're to live. This is how we're to be. This is caring for one another. What's your thoughts?
Situation in this class, and I'll say this coded, but we had a situation in this class probably about 3-4 years ago where one of the class members who was very worthy of being supported, which isn't always the case, had a need. And our class pulled together, I will just say, a fairly substantial amount of cash and help to help this person in the class.
Wow.
And it was really cool.
I know. It's wonderful. This is what we're known to be. This is Christianity in action in my book, folks. This is what it's all about. We're called to live this journey. All right, verse 7. A special reason is given why Gaius should be so helpful to these visitors. Okay? Let's read verse 7 and talk about it for a second. verse 7. A phrase is used. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. It was for the sake of the name. Any idea what that's talking about? What's that?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. 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 That name, I looked it up, the name. In the Old Testament, it's called Hashem. Hashem. Okay? And they were going out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would somebody please read Acts 4, verse 12? I just want to light on this for a second. This phrase, the name. 4:12.
And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven among men by
which. Hey, just one more time, brother. Just a little louder.
And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.
Oh, I like that. The name. They looked to the Lord alone. They didn't take money from the unconverted people. Okay? And they had a whirlwind of ministry going on in the known world at that time. We Christians are the most giving people on the face of the earth. We are. We are the most giving people on the face of the earth. I talked to Jack Zwick this week, Steve. You know him well. He's a very devout Jew, and he and I talk about Christ all the time, but he's not got saved yet. But he says, Barry, if it wasn't for you Christians, I swear Israel wouldn't be around for 2 weeks. And I said, amen, amen. If it wasn't for the Christians and the United States of America as a result of that influence, Israel would never... When you look at Israel and the situation they're in, it's like, how can that ever be possible, right? But it is possible because of the tremendous care that we show these people, the Christian people. We are giving. We are charitable people. We go out of our way to help people. I was in Holland, Michigan at a bookstore, and I got talking to the super liberal owner of the store. We got off on a tangent, and I told her I just got back from a prayer watch with Franklin Graham. She's, Franklin Graham, he's a piece of trash. I mean, she was really nasty. I said, ma'am, I want to tell you something. My grandchildren are putting together, in fact, we just delivered the boxes today. I said, my grandchildren are putting together these little red boxes. And I believe there's about, and help me on this, I think there's about 15 million of these boxes going out for Christmas to kids all over the world who have nothing, okay? And I said, that's Franklin Graham. You trash talk him. Go ahead, trash. He's doing a great work. And I said, ma'am, you know what motivation is? To get you to come to Jesus Christ. That's the motivation. That God would work in your life and you would find him as your Savior. But she just totally trashed Franklin Graham. I'll tell you what, you look at that little ministry compared to all the worldwide ministry. I mean, we got a crazy man here. What's his name? His crazy guy, Damon Orr. Gracious sakes, did you know that he flew into Africa? Worked on a project for 3 days and flew back 30 hours it took him to get there? Yeah. He wanted to get that project done. This is Christianity, folks. This isn't on the front page. This is on the front page. But I'll tell you what, it's on the front page of the Lord's pages. I mean, there's works going on all over the place. Go ahead.
There's a really good book that came out a number of years ago called What If Christ Had Never Been Born?
Oh.
And the whole book is about the impact in world history of Christianity on this world.
Yes.
And it's an interesting read.
I'd like to get that.
Yeah, I can include it in the email tonight.
That'd be great. You get the idea? Telephone hospitality. I just throw it. There's all kinds of things we can be doing, and they're being done. You wouldn't believe all the little Bible studies going on in this church. men getting together. I know men that get together for a little prayer thing at Starbucks. Well, they can't. Russ Arbuckle, who we're going to have lunch with today, he says now we have to have our Bible study standing outside. You know, suddenly Starbucks is scared too now, so I don't know what they're going to do. But they have little prayer meetings and stuff. This is the way we live, folks. This is the way we live. Go ahead.
You know, this is, again, not, this is not about me. It's about the Lord putting
it. Yeah, go ahead. Tell us.
9 years ago this year, the Lord put on my heart to invite my neighbors to a Christmas brunch.
Yes.
A Christmas, you know, get-together. I didn't know many of them at all. I didn't know their names, so I had to look them up on the county's, you know, website, figure out who lived there and all that, send out the invitations. And 9 years running now, now there's a sweet woman who's a new widow that's coming, does not know the Lord this year again. Well, she's come several years. A new neighbor that I met last year for the first time that hopefully will come back again. And I say all that to say this.
Yeah.
It is something that connects us in our neighborhood.
Isn't that wonderful?
And it's an opportunity to just love on them.
Right.
And share Christ with them.
Amen. Jan Opress, class over there. Jan has a Bible study, I think, every Tuesday night. She's led like 6-8 people, ladies to the Lord in the last 2 years. And she is nurturing them. She is discipling them and caring for them. And nobody would know unless you asked her. Isn't that neat? There's a lot of stuff going on, folks. This is Christianity in action. This is what I see from these scriptures. All right? I want to read verse 8. You know, I'm losing my sight, so I have a big print, and I still can't read my glasses on. So, we ought, therefore, to show hospitality to such men so that we may work together for the truth. The motivation is truth. The motivation is the gospel. We're motivated to live for Christ because of the gospel. It's changed our life. It's made a difference. Okay? And we should go out of our way to help people. And when we do, the truth is made known, good is provided, and the Lord's kingdom is satisfied. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. All right, that's verse 8. Any other comments on it? Anything you want to say? Any illustration? What do you think? This is what it's all about. In that three-hour lunch I had, Rick Wiegand, who goes to this church, many of you know him, he told us every day, he's retired, every day I have a Cubato or whatever that is. Every day I look in my neighbor, he lives out in the country, I look in my neighborhood, say, Lord, who would you like me to help right now? Next thing you know, a guy's moving trees. Next thing you know, Rick, and I know this to be true, Rick is driving up there with that machine, spending the entire day, and this man plant his trees. And guess what? A door of opportunity is given to tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I guarantee Rick does it every time. Go ahead.
Sorry to comment again. I was just...
No, please comment.
I was just going to say that it's just interesting how everything you're talking about that you're trying to encourage us to live out in this text is... just runs so contrary to our busyness, our laziness, yeah, our lack of discipline.
I know.
It really does. And, yeah, and not to be judgmental, but I just think it's we're reading a book right now in a men's group called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life by Don Whitney.
Oh, yeah.
And that's exactly what that chapter is about right now. And it's like, it's just such a reminder that it's like, man, it's like, pick a lane. You can either be lazy and undisciplined, yeah, and useless, which, yeah, is what I've been lately, or, you know, you can be other-centered and, yeah, actually be disciplined and, you know, walk for Christ. You know?
Amen. Well, sometimes what I always like to say every morning almost is, Lord, this is the first day of the rest of my life. What would you have me to do? What should I be involved in? Who can I help? That type of attitude. I think that's the way we're to live. And I think these are good teachings. Now, let's go on a negative note. We've got to talk about this clown. We got a clown in the Bible here. And I'm going to read verses 9 through 11. Okay? And it looks to me like he's the senior pastor of the church, maybe. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, guess what? We're going to have a little meeting, and I will call attention to what he's doing. He's gossiping maliciously about us. He's not satisfied with that. He refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Verse 11, dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God, and anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Wow, that's a packed deal here. Let's take a look. Looks to me like John has written a letter before, not inspired, not in the Holy Writ, and this guy kind of intercepted it and threw it in the garbage can. Okay? This fellow was way off base, and this should not be the case. This should not be the case in a local church. Here's a man I know personally. I've been in his home. I've been in his church in Colorado. I was at a conference. Some of you were with me at that conference, October of last year. We brought him in to a church on the west side. And he wrote a book that's kind of famous among Christian circles called Biblical Eldership. Okay? It's a book that taught, as our church is, that the pastor is not the capital E pastor of the church, elder of the church. That God has raised up a multiplicity of elders, men. Sorry, ladies, you have your ministries, men. And we are called to work together. We have 18 elders in our church. I think it's 18. He's been one. I've been one a few times. And I want to tell you something. Kathy, I didn't know you were going to be here today. Steve, that's Pastor Bob's wife. I didn't know it. She's taking notes and you know, I know I'm going to get a call tonight. I'm just teasing. But anyway, Bob embraces this wholly. And I can say, I think I've been an elder 3 times, so that would be 9 years. I just finished it in December. And I can say this, I love this man so much. I can say this, total honesty. I've never seen Pastor Bob do a power play. I've never seen him, if you guys don't do that, I ain't preaching anymore. None of that kind of, I have never seen even a hint of that kind. He believes in the plurality of godly leadership, not like this dictator. He believes in the plurality of, because what do you get? Like Moses learned, you get wisdom. You get wisdom from different godly men giving you input. Bob, could you say, comment, would you agree with me?
Totally.
Isn't it wonderful? He's taught us a lot, guys. And he tells me that this was the most influential book that he read about, I think, 18 or 19, I don't know, many years ago.
I'm just curious who wrote it.
Alex Strauch. Yeah, I should say. Alex Strauch. Yeah. So, anyway, what's your thoughts before I talk about this clown? Go ahead.
You know, a lot of the churches that I mentioned and gave illustrations from the series I did on biblical discernment, there's a huge movement to get away from the plurality of eldership.
Oh, there is?
To get one top guy who hears directly from God, and I didn't get to that. And then I was part of a church that we actually did a study. We were kind of steered in the study to eliminate the elder board. So we had the pastor, and then we had deacons, which have no authority. So there's a big movement to get away from the biblical approach to that.
Well, you ought to take him over to right here. Here, we got a guy right here. He'll tell you all about how to do it wrong. He was very unfair to John and to many others. Have you ever been in a church that was kind of run this way? I don't want you to name the church. Have you ever had this experience in life? Huh? And what was the lasting thing that you learned that wasn't good?
Oh, boy. I would say that my children are all my grown children who we spent 10 years in the slot in at least one church that I could name a couple, but I won't. I would call it the legalism and the lack of the Lord allowing the creativity that he has in individuals and the control of trying to fit everyone into a mold.
Yes.
There was so much truth in incorporated into it, I had a hard time discerning the lux and the district. And it was very damaging to my family. And my children are grown and are doing well, but they do still struggle with those 10 years and having that impact in their lives. It's been very damaging to our family. Mm.
Somebody else had. Go ahead.
The church we came from, when we came to Cornerstone, the very first thing that I recognized about this church versus the previous one is the leadership, the biblical leadership that was evident, that was not. You mentioned Bob embracing that book.
Oh, yeah.
He leads by example.
Yes.
That's what he does.
Absolutely.
And when you have a leader who's, letting everybody else do everything, that is not a good model. It's not Christ's model. But that was one of the key things I observed about coming here. And honestly made me cry the very first time that we did communion here. And I saw all the men lined up at the front of the church. I, having come from a single, situation, having been divorced, was so overwhelmed at the representative of our umbrella of leadership here that I just wept.
Wow.
It was so powerful to me. So I know that Bob embraces that, and I've seen that with the rest of our elders.
Great. Wonderful. You see here, John says, I'm going to come. I don't like this phrase. No, I'm not going to say it. We're going to have a meeting. We're going to have a meeting, John says. I like that. I'm glad that he puts it in. Because so often in local churches, when troubled people who are out to do damage to your church, we kind of sweep it under the carpet. We kind of, let's let it go away. Let it go. Oh, they're not coming. Oh, good, good. Now we don't have to deal with that. Oh, no. John says, I'm going to deal with it. I'm coming. And it's not going to be a happy day, but it's going to be a happy day. A reign of almost fear and intimidation comes so often in these environments. And it's not right. It's not right. This man was manipulating people and mistreating them in the church and overruling. And he says to Gaius, he says, turn away from such a man. Turn away from him. Nope. Don't listen to his teaching. Nope. He's way off. Good works are an evidence of a right relationship with the Lord. People should know that you're a Christian by the life you lead, by the good things you do. Okay? At the workplace, they should know there's a man, he's on a different path than we are. They should know that. And I believe, and I checked it out last night at 1 a.m., I just had I woke up and I went over to MacArthur's Study Bible and I pulled it out, and he got it right. MacArthur got it right. I don't think this guy was saved. I honestly don't. I think this was a wolf in sheep's clothing. What do you think, Fred?
I agree.
You agree?
Fine.
I know you're saved.
Yeah. You find that. I mean, you think about when you hear about the church that was sending people to funerals and saying about people being, you're going to hell, or picketing, or things, and you think, what's going on? And then you read about it. The elders were all brothers, and they weren't really the church.
Yeah.
And you think, hey, it talked about in Revelation about, hey, this church, hey, you do this or the star is going to be taken away.
Yeah.
God does that sometimes when people reject the truth.
I know. And this guy, I'm going to call him a clown. I think he was a clown.
John says right in verse 11, he defines who he is. The one who does good is from God. The one who does evil, which he just accused him of, has not seen God.
Now, I don't want to get off on it because that clock is really coming at me. I got to hit Demetrius. We got to end on a positive note. A lot of people say, we shouldn't judge. We shouldn't judge. You're right. But we should rightly judge. You rightly judge truth. Okay? And that is not a terrible, condemning attitude. It's a loving embrace of truth by which we measure. And we could safely say, this man's probably never got saved. Never got saved. So that's all I'm going to say. I want to stop. Any other thoughts on that? It's a tough one. But we got a good church here this way, in a lot of ways. We got a good church because we've embraced the biblical teaching of eldership. And this guy, you know, look at all this. You know, the Bible takes about a half a page to talk about eldership. But Alex got going. He couldn't stop. And it's good. It's good stuff. All right, let's talk verse 12. Would somebody read verse 12?
Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true.
Amen. Here again, I want to emphasize how John so kindly brags on this guy. If I can use that word, kind of brags on this guy. I want to be known as that type of Christian. I want to be known as a man who does everything he can to encourage another brother. Steve, who was that customer we had? He died. He was a Christian man. Nofdorf. Fred Nofdorf. Remember? And I knew Fred real well. Fred was an unbelievable encourager. I mean, I really learned a lot from him that way. He ran a huge company, like two companies, like 400 employees and all the rest of it. But he always was encouraging. I couldn't believe how he always had a word of encouragement. He'd call you up and say, Barry, I want to tell you, I really appreciate you, brother. I really appreciate you. He'd just call up and say that. Have a good day, buddy. See you later. And I thought, wow, this is kind of cool. And I think he's right. We need to encourage one another. Go out of our way. What do you think? You think that's important? Huh? You know, it's just so good. Don't you love to have somebody come up to you and say, boy, you did a good job. Thank you. Oh, I love your grandchildren. I know you're pouring. It's just good to hear once in a while. As long as it's sincere. Okay? And that's what he says about this guy. This guy's a good man. As far as I can tell, Demetrius was a very common name in these times, but no mention is made of him anywhere else in the Bible. So he gets one sentence, but boy, it's a good sentence. It's a good one. It's a keeper. Okay? He had a great testimony. The truth was the standard. The truth was the standard by which he was tested. And he was found to have been a faithful brother. He was found to be approved. And it's wonderful. What's your thoughts? What do you think?
What he lists right there is just literally one of the qualifications of an elder.
Yes.
That the others speak well of you and know you and
right.
Testify to your integrity.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then 13 and 14, we've got 1 minute. It's just simply saying, hey, I'm coming. I've got so much stuff I want to share. My pen's running out of ink, as it were. And I got to get there and tell you all about it. And by the way, we're going to have a meeting with that guy. We're going to have a meeting. Get ready. And it won't be a good one, but it's going to be good when it gets done. Father, we thank you for your word. Here's this little, this little thing here is about one column on the front page of the New York Times. It's just a little tiny thing, Lord, just filled with truth, with encouragement. And it's from you. You gave it to us. And you want us to live like this. And Christians throughout the ages have been known for their hospitality, for the desire to care for one another, to help others. And that hospitality goes to having a meal at a home or at a restaurant or telephone, internet, texting. Today, it's so much that we can do to show that we love one another and care for one another. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And now let's go worship and hear the word of God proclaimed.